deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great, oh so great, like you. There is no one else like you. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands as we lift for your name. Oh yes, and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your holy name. You
this evening. I mean, he's glad to be here tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Key of G. Amen. G. Amen. Let's sing this together. Let's stand together as we sing. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Is that what you came to do tonight, is to see Jesus? Amen. Maybe I need to ask you again that. Is that what you came to do tonight, is see Jesus? Amen. We came to see him tonight. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary. Oh, many arrows pierce my soul. And though I want to see him look upon his face, there seems forever of a saving grace. On the streets of glory,
the Lord is coming down. When the saints begin to pray and let Jesus have his way, the glory of the Lord is coming down. And it's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Yes, it's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. My Jesus is keeping me alive, and it is all over me, but it's keeping me alive. Yes, it's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. It is all over me, and it's keeping me alive. My Jesus is keeping me alive, for it's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, keeping me alive. Yes, keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, Jesus is keeping me alive.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We started off this song service tonight singing, "Oh, I want to see Him." Sirs, would you see Jesus? Amen. I believe we come this weekend to see Jesus, to experience in Him in the power of the Holy Ghost, because we're serving a risen God, a living Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is here to meet your need, to speak to your heart, to fill you with the Spirit, to empower you, to set you free, to cleanse you from sin. Amen. To make a new creation out of you. The power of God unto deliverance. That's what we believe tonight. That's what we're expecting in these meetings. Amen. We ought to be here tonight saying, "God, I want a refilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I want an outpouring of exactly what you poured out on the day of Pentecost. Pour out that Holy Spirit. Here I am. I'm going to empty out the world. I'm going to empty out my ideas. I'm going to empty myself out. And I want you to come in afresh and anew and live in me." Amen. Invite him to come tonight. Let's just speak to him a moment now. And I know across this audience tonight you represent different needs. Maybe there's a burden on your heart right now, a loved one. I can think of ones that's upon my heart very near to me. Very, very near. Sister Hollis from our church just got out of the hospital, recuperating from head home. But thanking God for her deliverance. Brother Kenneth Middleton is here in the service tonight. Checked out the hospital last night, but he said, "I'm not missing these meetings." You know why? Because he's looking for Jesus to come in these meetings. Amen. He's expecting God to meet his need. Brother Ron Spencer is here, whose father-in-law is laying at a really low point, comfort care not being given. Our brother Homer Frazier is very near to our hearts tonight. We want to remember him in prayer. You hold that request that you have, God knows. Hold it real close to your heart. Lift up a hand toward God and say, "Lord, don't pass me by. There's a need here. There's a need in my life. Will you just come my way? Lord, will you just speak a word of life to me in these meetings? Oh God, will you quicken my heart to faith?" Amen. Little sister called me from up in Washington State, near Oregon, saying, "I need prayer today, Brother Tim." Little sister that I buried in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And Sister Jimmy Lou Cleveland is calling to God tonight for deliverance. You can hold those prayer requests close by, close to your heart now as we pray. Father, we're your children, having gathered in your name tonight. And Lord, we are thankful for these facilities that we're able to use this week. We thank you, Lord, for Scottsfield Camp and its staff that has opened up their home here and their hearts to us and allowed us to have this little time of refreshments together in the presence of the Lord. And Lord, we've already been talking. What a family reunion like it's already been. Just gathering together, seeing old friends and making new ones. And just realizing that heaven's going to be a place, Lord, a gathering there where there will never be a parting. No sorrow, no pain, no death, no sickness. I pray, Lord Jesus, tonight for those who we're holding close to our heart, that you'll just meet their needs, Father. Lord, our brother Homer Fraser, a soldier of the cross. Our sisters, Sister Hollis, Sister Jimmy Lou that we mentioned. Our brothers, our brother Kenneth, and these other needs, Lord. Many of them are holding now a request close to their heart. It's a daddy, an uncle, a grandfather, a grandmother, somebody, a loved one. I pray, oh God, you'll send your word and heal them. Let the power of the Holy Ghost go out from these meetings. Reach right down into the crevices and the dark places of the world even. As it goes out on the internet and reaches out into the far corners of the world. May they know there's a living Christ who is here present to meet their needs. And even there where they are is there to meet their need for them. Bring healing and deliverance. And Lord, for this place tonight, Lord, we realize it's open to so many different events and things. And Lord, as they give service to many people of different kinds, different faiths, different things. But now, Father, we want to just dedicate this building this weekend for the purpose of serving God. Lord, in the power of your resurrection and a genuine holiness meeting, we want to dedicate it, Lord, to your service once more. But more than that, we want to dedicate ourselves to your service. We want to give ourselves to you and empty out something from our lives that you can pour yourself into us. We thank you for the ministry that is here, and we ask, Lord, your blessings upon them in the name of Jesus. Lord, you'll just minister to hearts and lives in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated. Amen. We want to welcome you here to the family camp here. Something that I felt in my heart to do some years ago. And God has opened up and given us the opportunity to meet now here once more. And if this is your first time, we want you to feel very welcome. And we're glad that you're here. And that you're a part with us. If you've come before, we want to welcome you back and say thank the Lord for you being here in these meetings tonight. And many of you have come from a long distance and driven in today. And I see ones from Florida. And can you believe even we have Texas represented here? And Louisiana and Missouri and New Mexico and Oklahoma, and just all over, you know, that are coming in and being a part of this meeting. We even got some from Yankeeville up in Ohio, Michigan area. Amen. They come down here to the South, and I hope you feel welcome and that the war is over. Amen. We're brothers, and we're thankful to God. We're not rebels down here unless we're rebelling against this world and this kingdom. Amen. But we're fellow citizens of the saints. Amen. And so we want to welcome you here tonight. And I do want to say this is not youth camp. We do have some young people to be staying here, and they will be in the dorms. We have a boys' dorm and girls' dorms. And, of course, you know, as I said, this is not youth camp, but we do have counselors for those rooms. And we have a deacon that is assigned to them nightly for them to report to if there is a issue. This is family camp, and so that means that your family is responsible for their young people. And we're going to hold them accountable. And that means if there is a problem in the dorm, we send them to their mamas and daddies. And we can't send them 500, 600, you know, 1,000 miles at youth camp, but we can in this camp. And so, you know, if there is things that gets out of line, or, you know, someone misbehaves, well, you go to sleep with your mom and dad, and they will be happy, and you will be happy. And so if you're not happy in the dorms, we can help you get happy. Because we want everybody to have a good time. Amen. And, you know, this is a relaxing time for us. And this is kind of a payback to our church for youth camp. And youth camp is, you know, is a real vigilant, you know, where we have to be really on our toes. This is a camp is where everybody wants to just have a good time and relax and enjoy the meetings. And so I'm asking you to be on your best behavior, and you know, and especially you young people, I think we have you designated to be in at 11:30 every night, and so you know, we'd like you to abide by that. And so when the service is dismissed and whatever, you kind of watch for your time, you know, and when everybody else is kind of settling down, and you get in there and settle down too, and make this just a wonderful time for everybody here. Amen. Don't make it where it's hard work on the deacons here and difficult to deal with. So if you can just make it easy for us, we'll just have a great time together. And I know with our young people that have been coming to our youth camp, they made me so proud every year. We have some of the greatest young people in the whole wide world. And I expect our young people to be that kind of young people again at this family camp. And of course, I'm not even going to say what I expect of the adults, except for you just to get in the service and pull on the gift of God and get in the Spirit of God and pull heaven down. Amen. And pull yourself up into the presence of God. It's time we sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So put all your heart into it. You know, we have these services. We have some wonderful ministry that is going to be speaking. Brother Craig Boer, Brother Danny Steeman, Brother Ron Spencer, Brother Donnie Reagan, Brother Wayne Lawson are all going to be speaking, bringing the Word of God in their turn. And we got a 7-course menu. And God's going to have something there just for you. I believe that God's going to meet your need in this camp meeting, and that He's going to bring healing and deliverance to His children. Amen. And send us back refreshed, empowered by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we're glad that you are here and assembled with us. If you're a minister in this building, if you would just stand, please. I'd like just to see who all is here tonight. If you're a minister or a pastor, minister, evangelist, whatever gift in the body, if you'll just stand, please. Amen. It's so wonderful to have you with us. Amen. Somebody give them a hand. Thank you. God bless you. Amen. We so appreciate you coming. And see different ones that are here that has left their home church as far as a pastor to be here with us on this Wednesday night. And we just want to express our sincere appreciation for you to come and be a part of this family camp this weekend. Just a moment just to say, some years ago that I had a real vision in my heart. It just struck me. It's been probably in the year 2000, somewhere along that, I really got a burden in my heart to have a family camp for the bride in this area, and whosoever will, wherever they wanted to come from. And you know, I saw so much philosophy being taught, and psychology, and you know, how to pay your bills and finances and marriage and social issues and everything else. And I really am convinced that we can fix most of those problems with a good dose of the Holy Ghost. And it'll do something psychology won't do for you. And self-help books won't do for you. And we won't have to go out yonder to get it. We can get it right from the Word of God, the message of the hour. And it'll change your life and fix most every bit of your marriage problems, teenage problems, child-rearing problems, financial problems. Get in love with Jesus and the rest of it will take care of itself. Amen. So that's what we're doing this weekend, is that we're wanting to provide a meeting here for you to come. We've done this for the years. We used to have Labor Day meetings to try to have good ministry in the area to for the area to come in and have some just a great time in the Lord. And we felt led to branch out and try to do it in a family camp meeting. And so it's because of that vision that we had is why that we're here tonight. And just seeing you here, I can see there's a great need among us. And this is the first night. The crowd will only grow as we reach the weekend. So just be in prayer and let's go with God. I wanted to mention the service in the morning is at 10 o'clock. And the service tomorrow evening will be at 7. So 10 and 7. And except we will be having the service on Saturday night. We may move that up a little bit, maybe to 6. We'll just announce that as we go along. But for a rule, it'll be 10 and 7. So the lunch or the breakfast time will be 8 o'clock in the morning. And if you have bought tickets and we couldn't accommodate you on the ground and you bought tickets and whatever for meals here, try to be here on time at 8 o'clock. And so that they can serve you and get the hall and the kitchen cleaned up for the next meal that is coming. And then the next meal will be at 12, there around about, and then at 5 o'clock in the evening. So we got a wonderful time ahead of us. Let's just put all our hearts into it. And God bless you. Good to have you here tonight. Brother Timothy, come lead in songs.
Amen. Ask the brothers they would to take up the offering tonight. Amen. Just give us unto the Lord.
God is good all the time. He put a song of praise. This heart of mine, God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. God is good. Oh, all the time. God is good. Oh, God is good. All the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good. All the time. His light will shine. God is good. Oh, God is good. Ask Sister Abigail and those singing with her to come make ready. We were sinners, that's so unworthy, still for us He chose to die. He filled us with His Holy Spirit. Now we can stand and testify. Oh, that His love is everlasting, and His mercy, oh, they will never end. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, His light will shine. God is good. Oh, God is good all the time.
Amen. Let's sing this chorus together. Ask Brother Philip, Sister Mandy, to bring their special tonight. And Jesus, Jesus, draw me close, closer, Lord, to you. Let the world around me fade away. Jesus, draw me closer, Lord, to you, for I desire to worship and sing it one more time.
The cruelest words, the coldest hearts, the deepest wounds, the endless dark, the lonely ache, the burning tears, the bitter nights, the wasted years, life breaks and falls apart. But we know these are places where grace is to the peace so amazing. It may be unfulfilled, it may be watch and see, it will not be unredeemed. For every choice led to shame, and all the love that someone broke, and every life that came uphold, we live in the shadows of the fall. But the cross says, but when
may be unrestored, but you never know the miracle
the Father has in store. Just watch and see. Just watch and see.
Not my own. Oh, to you I surrender. honor all. I give myself away.
You just like to make that commitment tonight. Can you just stand to your feet and lift your hands and sing it? Lord, I give myself.
I give myself away. Yes, Jesus. I give myself away so you can use me. Oh, my life is not my own. Yes, Lord, I give myself. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Oh, my life is not my own. My life is not my own. Oh, to you I belong. I give myself away. I give myself away. Yes, Lord, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Yes, Jesus.
Are you here to make a surrender to God? Are you here to let the Word of God have preeminence in your life? Amen. I want you to invite Him tonight to come and minister to your heart. Jesus Christ is in this building tonight because He said, where two or more gather in my name, there I am in their midst. And we have gathered tonight, not just saying the name of Jesus, but we are part of that body of Jesus Christ. And so His presence is here with us tonight, here to minister to our hearts, to speak to our lives. Tonight we're going to be inviting Brother Craig Boer to come and minister. Brother Craig comes from Lima, Ohio, and he married one of the young ladies from our church, Sister Anna Shaw, and he's very much a part of our church. And we're really happy to have him tonight to come and speak this first service. Remember meeting Brother Craig maybe some nearly probably 15 years ago. And just seeing what a welcoming, fine spirit that he had as a young man. And seeing where God has led him and directed him. And now has honed him into being a vessel that I believe that can speak a word of life to you tonight. Amen. I don't care what kind of spirits that you have been dealing with. You know, this is not a meeting where the devil isn't here. I hope you brought him here so he can be run out of your life. If you had a problem, you had a situation, we are here as a church of God to cast him out. We are here to be overcomers, to rise up above the situations in this life. We're not a discouraged people. We're not a downtrodden bunch of people. We're a bunch of people that have overcoming power and overcoming life. And we are here to preach a life, a gospel of victory, a gospel of power, a gospel of deliverance. And it'll not just clean you, it'll set you free. Amen. It'll set you at liberty where you no longer have that thing anymore troubling your life. We are people walking in victory. We are His victory. As Brother Craig comes tonight, I want us to sing the song, Learning to Lean. Learning to Lean on Jesus. I want you just to invite the Lord to come and speak to you tonight through the Word as it's ministered. Amen. Probably G. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. And I'm finding more power than I ever dreamed. I am learning to lean on Jesus. asked for now. Oh, learning too late. I'm learning too late. Bless us in a special way. God, we ask, Father, that you would fill, Lord, our young people with the Holy Spirit. We pray, oh God, that you'll bring us all up to another level, to another height. Lord, like eagles, just spread their wings, and Lord, the wind just packs them into the heavens. We ask that your Spirit would just carry us away. Father, we pray, Lord, if there's anything wrong in our lives, that you'd make it right. Give us the character, Lord, to repent for wrong. Father, we love you and we thank you. We ask your blessings upon our gathering, upon the Word of God. We welcome you here above all things. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Everybody happy? Now that sounds better. I don't know what you did, but you did something right. Someone did something right. It's good to be able to hear myself. Greetings in the precious name of the Lord. We're very, very happy to be with you and fellow workers and fellow laborers and fellow deacons and musicians and song leaders and friends and Christians. God bless you all. We're just happy to be here with you. We're honored and we want to thank Brother Tim, Brother Timothy for having confidence in us that we could come and maybe be a help. And that's what we want to be, not to be heard. We want to be a help. And we're convinced in the message that we preach. That there's a power and there's a deliverance and there's a life in this message. You know, it's exciting being a Christian because you just don't know what he's going to do next. And so let's be on expectation. I've done everything I can to be sincere and pray, to prepare. But us as a collective body, we've got to create an atmosphere that God is welcome. And if we can find favor with him, then God can do great things. All he has to do is pass by. And it can make a difference. I was thinking just before Brother Tim called me up about when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, he'd whip a thousand Philistines or, you know, rip a lion apart. And he thought nothing of it. And I thought, if God could do that with one man, what could he do with an entire church? If just the power of God fell upon us, I believe that it would shake the very gates of hell. May God give us grace, and we're opening this service maybe with a consecration to us all. I know we all have needs, young and old. It's the hour that we live. And so how many have a need if you just lift it before God? I have a need. I'm under expectation. And so we're just trying to find the mind of the Lord. Any preacher be kind of on nerve's edge. Lord, where do I go? What do I do? You know, you want to lay a foundation with the other messages that are coming. And so I know, and every preacher's got his antennas out listening. Which way, Lord? Which way? But we just got a thought on our heart that we just want to deliver. And I ask that you be patient with me. Let's be disciples of God, students of the Word. And let's just sit at God's feet tonight and pull. Is that all right? Let's read, if we can, out of Luke chapter 24, verse 25. It's good to be a Christian. I gave my heart to the Lord about 19 years ago, and it has been an absolute whirlwind, and I've loved every minute of it. How many are Christians tonight? All right. Luke chapter 24. We'll read a very familiar scripture to us all. And I ask if you just get right in behind me. I want to take my time in building. I've got to build in an area. Then I'll eventually get to where I want to go. But Luke chapter 24. Does everybody love the Lord?
Amen.
All right. Luke chapter 24, verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and he blessed it, and he brake, and he gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and they returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and has appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way. Listen now. How he was known of them in the breaking of bread. I want to preach tonight on the awakening. We could just bow our heads once more. Father, we have read your word. We have assembled, Lord, as a mighty army. And God, our hearts are hungry for the word of God. Lord, we're ready, dear God, to receive from you. As you broke the bread of life to these two elect of that day, would you come down in your spirit, dear Lord? Break the bread of life to our souls. And may we see you, dear God. May you reveal yourself, dear God, as we break the word of life. We love you and commit this service to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless you. You can have your seats. Brother Branham said this was a glorious 40 days that Jesus was appearing to his disciples. Thank you, Brother Tim. It was an exciting time because Jesus was making appearances different places. First, he appeared to some of the women. Then he appeared in different places. And as they heard the news begin to come in, that the Lord indeed, it was confirmed that the Lord has risen indeed. Their heart went from sorrow to joy. And Brother Branham said it would have been an exciting day to live in that time, because around any bend, he could be there. Amen. He's not gone anywhere. He's the same God. And he can be just around any corner. Be in any meeting. He can meet you in your house, in your cabin. He can meet you anywhere. How many believe that? We got to have an expectation in our hearts. But I want to talk about the road to Emmaus experience. As we are all very, very familiar with, it amazes me because as they were talking and their hearts were disappointed about what took place, their expectations seemed to be disappointed. A man just kind of walked out from behind a bush, Brother Branham said. And he joined them. And he said, Why are your countenance sad? Or why are you looking downhearted? I can feel it in your conversation. And they said, Are you a stranger here that you have not heard what has taken place? But there was a mighty prophet indeed, and deeds and works, and we just knew that this was the Messiah, but it was going good, and all of a sudden things just turned in a way, and it just brought us to disappointment. This was amazing, because this was a 7-mile journey, nearly. And they have talked to him about the scriptures, and they did not recognize him. This is amazing to me, because they had known him. They had heard him preach. They had slept with him, and they had ate with him, and they were the inner circle. They knew him. And Brother Branham said, when he saw a vision of Jesus,
that Jesus' features were such that an artist could never capture the features that were on his face. He said he looked like a man as if you were to look upon him, you would look and pity him and weep, but with reverence. But if he were to speak, it would turn the world upside down. It's amazing a man that would look like that could walk with them and talk for 7 miles on the scriptures and they not notice who he was. They love the Lord. They were taught by the Master, the scriptures. They were taught the Word. They knew the way that he handled the Word. Is it not strange that they did not recognize who he was? You know, every one of us, we have a particular voice. And if you get acquainted with someone, they can give you a call. Brother Ron could call me, not even say, "This is Brother Ron." And just give him a couple seconds to talk and I'll know by his voice signature, that's Brother Ron. Or if Brother Tim calls me, I'll know just by his voice, that's Brother Tim. Because every one of us have a different voice and a different characteristic and a different makeup. Isn't it strange that they did not know him? They didn't know the way that he broke the scriptures down. They did not even recognize his voice. Isn't that interesting? Every one of us have mannerisms. And you learn those mannerisms. And we can impersonate one another because we all have different actions and so on. Can you say amen? I never met Brother Branham, but he had a mannerism where he'd turn his head up. And you and all of us, we would recognize that that was the figure of a prophet. And you know, no doubt Jesus had mannerisms. Isn't it strange that they could walk with him like this and not pick up a mannerism? Not pick up a voice signature, not pick up something spiritual that he done, and they're just listening like deer in the headlights. You love the Lord. They were looking at him right in the face, and they're not recognizing him. Do you love the Lord? I notice this now. Jesus appearing in one place in another form. Now Jesus went down and he come back up in another form. He was not revealing himself in the same form, but he was revealing himself after the resurrection by his characteristics. Do you love the Lord? Can I go on a little further? He revealed the resurrection by his characteristics. That's why when he went into the room and he broke the bread, he did something that he did before the crucifixion. They recognized the characteristic. And then they saw that it was Jesus. It was a manifestation that awakened them. You love the Lord. And I want to just turn now and I'll get back there. God is a spirit. And no man has seen God at any time. But the Bible said, God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets. And Brother Branham said in the Church Age book, not by the prophets, but in the prophets. Meaning that no man can see God's form, but God would reveal his person, his character, by and through the prophets. And by and through the prophets, they would reveal the characteristic of God. Meaning you could not know God without the prophet revealing the characteristics. Hallelujah! You could not know God without a prophet revealing God to you in some measure. Let's be free eagles tonight. Do you love the Lord? Now notice this, the reason. Because God don't have physical characteristics like a big nose or big ears, but he has supernatural characteristics. And so God reveals the supernatural characteristics by and through the prophets. And that's right. All creation has characteristics. Like my wife, I think she's an encyclopedia sometimes. She'll look at a flower and she'll say, "Oh, that's a," and that's a, and she knows them. I don't, that's a flower to me. But you know, a flower has characteristics. You know, I just want to impress my wife and I maybe just plant a flower out in the middle of the yard and say, there you go, honey. She'll say, honey, didn't you read the directions? They're shade plants. Well, you know, certain flowers can't be in the sun. Certain flowers have characteristics that they've got to be in the shade. All the brothers are going, brothers don't understand the language. Okay, hunting. In order to get your game, you got to know the characteristic of the animal that you're hunting. If you're looking for a deer or an elk or something in the mountains or something that's lower, if you're fishing, you got to know what kind of bait that they like. And so everything is identified by its characteristics. Women have characteristics. Men have characteristics. Children have characteristics. Ain't that right? And the only way to know God Almighty is to understand His characteristics. And they are not physical characteristics. They are supernatural characteristics. You love the Lord? And notice this. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake to the fathers by the prophets. This is how God, by the prophets, would actually reveal His future work. God appeared in men, making Himself known. God appeared in David. God appeared in Joshua and Joseph and all the prophets and mighty men of God, priests and lawgivers and kings. God was revealing Himself through the law and through the character. And it's wonderful. How many love the Word of God? And Brother Brennan makes a statement that Abraham saw God in many forms. He says he saw Him in different lights and maybe a theophany form. And we know the Word is amorphous, God changing His form. And then Brother Brennan said God will change His form, but never His nature. God could have 1,000 forms. God could have 1,000,000 forms. But never His nature. Because the form is not the characteristic. The nature is the characteristic. Can you say amen? Can I go a little further? So God reveals Himself in Jesus Christ. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, Christ Jesus. And the Bible said, no man has seen God at any time, but the Son has declared Him. That's why Jesus could say, when you see Me, you see the Father. Have I been with you so long and you have not known Me? That's why Jesus, every action, He was making God known to man. He was making Him clear. His love, His power, His justice. Do you love the Lord? He brought God real and alive to us. God's fullness. God expressing Himself to man. Christ revealed the very person, the very deity, and the very heart of God. Can you say amen? Do you agree with that? Now notice this. He declared after His crucifixion that He would come back again. Jesus did. After His ministry, after He declared unto us, God, stay with Me, please. He said, I will leave, but I will come back again. And He said, I will send you a comforter. He will dwell in you. And then He said, I will come to you. A little while the world will not see Me no more, yet you'll see Me. I'm coming back. Ain't that right? Now notice this, resurrection is not replacement. That means if I drop the Bible on the floor and pick it back up, that is a resurrection. It is not a replacement. So the very Jesus that went down came back up again. He didn't go down one person and up another person. He went down one person, back up the same person, and He revealed Himself in another form. Can I preach tonight? Now notice this. That's why He said, I am He that was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. Isn't that right? He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Ain't that wonderful? So if Jesus said, I'm going away and I'll come back again, then we must have a description of what he is. And his physical characteristics is not going to work. Can you say amen? If we're looking for the second coming of the Lord, then we must have a description of what we're looking for. Isn't that right? And in other words, the only way to know Jesus is by his characteristics. The only way to know the Holy Spirit is by his characteristics. Because Jesus warned there would be false Christs, false teachers, false anointed ones. And in the last days, it would be so close, it would deceive the elected. And the only way to know the difference between true and false is by its characteristic. How many can say amen? That's the only way to discern the truth from the false. You know, like Brother Tim was saying, we've known each other for many years quite well. Now, if I had talked to someone else and they said, who'd you say? I said, Brother Tim from Louisiana, right? That's right. I think I met him. Does he wear shorts and a Hawaiian shirt with a big cigar in his mouth? I say, no, you got the wrong guy. Just because the characteristics don't fit. But he said, no, is that man from Louisiana? That's right. He packed a Bible, pointed his finger in my face and told me to repent. I said, that's Brother Tim. See, I know Brother Tim's characteristics. And we must know his characteristics in order to meet him when he comes. Hallelujah! Because there will be false doctrines and false experiences and false Holy Ghosts and false teachers. And we need to know the real Holy Ghost. We need to know the real doctrine. Hallelujah! Brother Branham said this, there is a key to understanding the nature of God, and that key is very simple. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same when he started to the end, through and through. His character will never change. His nature will never change. So in order to know what you're looking for, you got to know what he was. Is that all right? You got to have some sort of conception of what God was, and then you'll know what he is and what you're looking for. And that's right. This is one of the greatest revelations of this message, that God's nature is unchangeable. Hallelujah! It's one of the greatest revelations. Brother Branham said, his thoughts are eternal. That God can never change his thoughts. And if you see this, you'll see many things. He said, he is unchangeable both in his nature and his behavior. And God is infinite. His abilities are infinite. That means he's limitless. Ain't that right? His thoughts can never change. He never gets a new thought. He never gains a knowledge. Politics change. Nations change. People change. But not God. God never changes. God loves you. God saved us by the grace of God. His spirit never changes. Can you say, are you listening, young people? He will always be the same. He said it in Malachi, I am the Lord, I change not. How many believe that? Whatever God was, he'll always be. And the only way to have eternal life is to know his characteristics. Because people can study the Bible and not know him. People can pray and be dedicated and be religious and not know him. But the Bible said to know him is life. And the only way to know him is by his characteristics. How many want to know him in the power of the resurrection? God is infinite. God never changes. His mind is perfect. His thoughts are perfect. From beginning to end. And we can't understand what it is to be that way, but we can believe it. How many believe it? God's word, the Bible said, is true from the beginning. Wouldn't you like if it was that way? We all think our words are true from the beginning. We've made enough mistakes to know that's wrong. But what makes God almighty is His word is true from the beginning. From the very beginning, God, His first thought is perfect and right. That's exactly why seers could look down through the stream of time. They could see wars. They could see kingdoms rise and fall. They could see political disturbance. And then they could prophesy and it would be just that way. That's how God could look and show the Gentile kingdoms rise and fall by symbol. And it's falling in place just exactly. That's why God could say, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated before they were ever born. That's why God could tell Jeremiah, I ordained you a prophet before you were in your mother's womb. Yeah. Amen. God is good to us, isn't He? Yeah. And let me tell you this, God saw a redeemed church before the foundation of the world, and He prophesied it's going to be there. And I believe this is materializing into that bride, that woman, that elect lady that He was looking for. How many say, Lord, let me step in the vision? That's why Brother Branham would stand on the platform and he would begin to drift. And he'd say, I see you when you're a little girl. Your hair is plaited and you're playing and such a happen. And then he would come back and say, is that true? They'll say, all true. Then he would tell them their future. Jesus Christ heals you. Go on and be healed. And they knew if God can tell me what I did, God can tell me what I'll do. Because God, His word is right. Ain't that right? Can you say amen? That's how God could say Los Angeles is going to sink. Rome is going to go into power. And because His word is true from the beginning. And we can trace that word to the beginning and follow that characteristic on through. Because God is infinite. He cannot improve His word. He cannot alter His word. He cannot modify that word. In other words, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is the right way and the only way. Love the Lord. He's unchanging. God is unchanging. His ways are unchanging. The church that He started was Pentecost. That was the pattern. Notice God's way is right from the beginning. All the way to Cain and Abel. Faith was God's provided way. And it's always been right. The just shall live by faith. The blood was God's provided way. And it's always been right. How many can say amen? The baptism of the Holy Ghost has always been right. There's no other court of appeal. It's that way or no way at all. Can you say amen? Holiness has always been right. It was so from the beginning. Signs and wonders has always been right. You love the Lord. Now watch Jesus in His earthly ministry. How He come across false teachers. How Satan was trying to cut Him off and hinder the ministry. Hinder the work of God. Hinder the will of God. Jesus would, when He spoke, He turned things upside down. And so men were constantly trying to catch Him in His words. Is it right to heal on the Sabbath? Is it right to give Caesar? Constantly someone would pop out and ask a question. And He silenced the devil every time. One day someone popped out and got a marriage and divorce question. And they said, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? And Jesus now said, have you not read in the beginning? God created man, both male and female, created He them. And they're like, yeah. But Moses gave a writing of divorcement. And then He responded and said, Moses did that because of your hard heart. But from the beginning, it wasn't so. So Jesus began to correct the errors. by going back to God's original perfect thought. I think we should all go back to God's original perfect thought. In your marriages and in your life and in your decisions. Always go back to the beginning. Hallelujah. So when Jesus came to deliver the people in his age, he found the people were going to the synagogues for salvation and deliverance. And all they were getting was creeds, dogmas, washing of hands, and tradition. And they made the word of God of none effect. Jesus began to correct their errors. Do you believe that? It was not so from the beginning. Denominations was not so from the beginning. If he came tonight, he would find the world in the same condition. He would find denominations and false doctrine. Purgatory was not so from the beginning. Trinity was not so from the beginning. A defeated Christian life, a worldly Christian life, was not so from the beginning. Hallelujah! We could go on and on. Sprinkling was not so from the beginning. He would begin to correct the errors simply by going back to what God did at the beginning. You love the Lord? I think it would save us a lot of trouble if we would cut to the chase and before we go to our pastor, go to our knees and say, God, show me what you've done from the beginning. Can you say amen? He's not the same yesterday, today, and forever, or partially the same, or two-thirds the same. He is the same. How many believe that? His nature is the same, completely. He is the same in every way. And remember when Jesus rose from the dead, he told the disciples, you'll be endued with power from on high. And as he talked to them, he began to ascend right before their eyes. And as they were gazing, two angels stepped by and said, why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus that you saw go, that same Jesus will come back for you. And he'll be the same character, the same doctrine, the same power. This same Jesus that left is coming back for you. Hallelujah! He's the same Jehovah Jireh. He's the same mighty conqueror. He is the same God in every way. He is the same pillar of fire that Abraham saw, that Moses saw. He is the same I am. He's always a living tense God, a present tense God. He is a present tense God tonight. That same God is coming back for you. You believe that? He's the same Savior. He is the same that died for our salvation and healing. He is the same in motive, the same in action. His attitude is the same. Can you say amen? Same compassion. Same love. Same interest. He is the same. Can you say amen? Listen, the same forgiveness. The same mercy. The same long arm of love. He is the same tonight. I hope I get some people believing it tonight. I am the Lord that healeth all of thy diseases. I is the same God. Here I am the bread of life. I am the tree of life. I am the water of life. I am the light of the world. I am the Lord that healeth thee. He is the same God. How many believe it? I mean, what chaos the world is in. 40,000 denominations all claiming to be the right one. False doctrines and false teachings. False baptisms. So which one do you go to? How do you know you're right? We have declared that Jesus is the same. But how do we know how to identify the true church? There's got to be a true church. And Brother Branham said, a key was given to me. And he said, I know in Ecclesiastes 3:14, I know whatsoever God does shall be forever. Nothing shall be put to it. Nothing shall be taken from it. He said, and God doeth it, that men should fear before Him. Brother Branham said, I was trying to enter into the greatest study of my life at that time, which was the church ages. And he said, I sought the Lord for many days in prayer, studying the histories. He said, and then the answer came. He said, the Holy Spirit came and gave him a key to unlock the mystery. And he said, the key that God gave was to be able to determine the messenger and the church. He said, I will call it the keystone of the entire Bible. He said, it is Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And God never changes. His ways never change. And he said, He is unchanging. And the kind of men God used in the first age, He will pick throughout the ages. And the kind of church He had in the beginning will be the same kind of church He'll be coming back for. Whew. You love the Lord. Brother Branham talked about the seven messengers and the seven spirits of God. He said, God is one spirit. We can't contradict the scripture. He said, but the seven spirits of God are the seven manifestations upon the seven messengers. It is only one spirit, but in seven different manifestations. It is the same God. God changing His form, but it's the same Spirit. Hallelujah! Do you love the Lord? God's first act is His perfect act. His first act is His perfect act, and it is the standard by which all else is judged. Whew. So, Brother Craig, I want to be a real Christian. Then we got to go to the first act. Jesus said, you must be born again. I want to be a part of the true church. Then we got to go to His first act. So, Brother Craig, the whole world's full of hypocrites. Well, let's start with you. God knows you're not one. Do you love the Lord? Brother Branham said, we must work from the original. And he said, like begets like. And so remember, it's not replacement. It's resurrection. The Jesus that went down, come back up again. The church that fell is the same one that comes back again. Can you say amen? God will never be a denomination. He'll never marry a denomination. He'll never marry a powerless group of people. Jesus said this same gospel will go around the world. And then the end shall come. Not another gospel. This same gospel. When Brother Branham went beyond the curtain of time, he said, I only preach what Paul preached. They said, we're resting on that. I preach the same gospel, the same baptism, the same deliverance. Hallelujah! You believe that? That same gospel, the same power, the same pillar of fire, the same healing, everything just the same doctrine, same characteristics, same blessings, same manifestation, same presence. That same presence that we feel tonight. Do you love the Lord? Brother Tim, I'm going to have to use a handheld. Can I get a handheld? Can I take one of these? It ain't your fault, it's my fault. I got a voice that cuts up on me. Everybody love the Lord? If I can figure out how to turn it on. Testing. Bless the Lord. Oh yeah. That's good. Paul said that we must speak the same thing. Paul said this, I beseech you, brethren, 1 Corinthians 1:10, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing.
that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together, the same mind and the same judgment. Now, Babylon could not fulfill that. There's only one group of people that can be in the same mind, the same judgment, and speak the same thing. Do you love the Lord? This is the church that'll go back with Him. It is the same Holy Spirit bringing forth the same results. This is the same Holy Ghost that fell on the day of Pentecost and has blessed our souls and lifted us up into heavenly places. Do you love the Lord? Listen closely. It's Jesus Christ in bride form, but it's the same one. Same characteristics are in His bride, are in Him. Can you say amen? Are you ready? But we must pay the same price. We must pray. We must live for God. Must separate from the world. We must be born again by the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? We must pay the same price to be a part of that same church. How many want the same reality they had at Pentecost? The same freedom from sin. The same transforming power. The same grace. The same joy. The same security. The same confidence. The same zeal. The same victory. The same simplicity. The same life. The same message. The same doctrine. Hallelujah! Say, Lord, let it be the same. Let me have the same experience that Peter had, that Paul had. Let me have the same experience that Mary had. She comes staggering out like a drunk woman. We must search our experience from the beginning. Can I turn the corner here? Everybody love the Lord. You're being good. You're locking right in. Thank you. God had made a promise to Abraham. And it was just like His promise that He's made to us. We had nothing to do with it. God in His love just said, I'm choosing you and I'm going to make you, I'm going to put you in my economy where I want you. Isn't that wonderful? And so many years went by. Abraham didn't doubt God, but he didn't know how it was going to happen. And so in the Genesis chapter 15, God had told him, look up. I'm going to make your seed like the stars of heaven. And Abraham said, Lord, how is this going to be? Listen very carefully. Don't let your mind drift. How will this be? And he said, I want to know, how am I going to inherit it? So God had told him, He said, get you a heifer of 3 years old and a she-goat and a turtle dove. He takes them and He divides them. How many remember the story? He divides them in a deep sleep as the sun was going down. A deep sleep fell upon Abraham. And Brother Branham said the old covenants, and this is true historically, that if I were to make a covenant with Tim, what we would do is we would kill these sacrifices and split them. Me and Brother Tim would stand between the sacrifices and I would write out my covenant. I'm going to give you property, Brother Tim, such and such on such and such a date under such and such conditions. And then we would rip that covenant in half and I would give half to Brother Tim and I would pack the other half. Is that all right? Brother Branham was talking about that God did the same thing with Abraham when He wrote the unconditional covenant. And Brother Branham said when the pillar of fire went between the two pieces, He was signing the covenant. Hallelujah! And he said, when the covenant is fulfilled, I have got to come back to Brother Tim, and when we put the covenant together, it'll go word by word, line by line, letter by letter. It will match exactly. Hallelujah. Brother Branham said, that's what God did when He gave us the covenant of the Holy Ghost. He said He took Jesus to Calvary. He ripped Him in two, ripped the life out of Him, put it back on the church. Do you believe that? And notice this. He said He tore His spirit out. Now watch closely. It cannot be impersonated. God tore the life out of Jesus. That means that if I'm a Christian, I must possess the life that was tore out of him. I must possess the characteristics that were tore out of him at Calvary. Both sides must dovetail perfectly. Dovetail, if you look at woodwork, if you like woodwork, they'll take two pieces and they'll dovetail and they'll put them together and it makes a very solid corner. Makes a very strong built craftsman. It's joining two pieces together, fitting them together and conveniently, and it holds very strong. Everybody standing with me? God is looking for a church that dovetails with Jesus Christ perfectly. I say, God, tie my soul into Christ. Tie my life into Christ. I want to be joined to him. I want to be dovetailed into him. That you can't separate us. When you see me, you see the Father. Hallelujah. How many say, yay, Lord? Now I want you to think of the church. Because Brother Branham said he's coming back for that kind of church. A church that dovetails with the life character of God. That loves like God. That forgives like God. That looks like God. That walks like God. And when you see the church, you see him. Hallelujah! Now I want you to think of the message. God takes an uneducated man and he begins to preach with a seventh grade education. And he starts talking about three Bibles. And he goes into the heavens and begins to talk about the Zodiac and the Virgin, Leo the Lion, the Second Coming. And he begins to tie the heavens, dovetailing it with the Bible. And then he said there was another Bible in the pyramids. And he began to describe the significance, how the build of the pyramid dovetails with the Bible. And Brother Branham spoke of it many times, the stones that built the pyramid. If you ever study those stones, they're not just flat cut stones. They're literally dovetailed stones. They're cut in angles that is just absolute, I mean, incredible weight and bulk, incredible size. And they're dovetailed with precision. So precise that those pyramids are earthquake proof. They withstood the flood, withstand the judgment, withstand time. This church is so dovetailed with God. That it's earthquake proof. Let the world pass away. Let heavens pass away. Let the Hitlers arise. Let war arise. But she'll stand as a memorial. Hallelujah. Because she is dovetailed with him. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is seeking sand. Earthquake proof. Obama proof, Iran proof, Russia proof, Rome proof. Hallelujah! An invincible army. They dovetail so perfectly. When he comes, there's a place for the headstone to sit. It was meant to be there. God is carving you out by the preaching of the word tonight. Look at the churches of the world. Many reject the headstone. But there's a group of people here tonight with their hands lifted saying, Lord, I receive. I receive your headship. I receive the message. God, come down upon my life and cap it off. How many say, yes, Lord, let's cap off these meetings. Can I go a little further? I know I'm holding you. Is it all right? The Bible said line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Meaning that you could find Christ in Genesis, Find Christ in Exodus. Find Christ in Judges. Find Christ in Isaiah. And go all the way through the Bible. And there's a peace. There's a peace. It dovetails perfectly. And Brother Branham talked about a Chinese laundry ticket. He said, you bring your laundry in and they would scratch out your receipt. Then they would tear the receipt. They'd give you a part. And then they would take a part. And in order to redeem your dirty laundry, you had to bring that other pack and it had to match. I know you've got sins, so do I. But if you want your dirty laundry clean, you better have the right experience that matches that redemption ticket. God, clean my heart, clean my mind, clean my life, clean my home. Do you believe that? Now watch this. Jesus' life matched every scripture of the Old Testament. It dovetailed his whole life. You've seen him in David. You've seen him in Joseph. And you'll find in the last days, there is a church that dovetails with every prophecy. Is this all right? Jesus was the matching piece to the Old Testament. There were many false prophets and many that claimed to be. But only one could match that ticket. And God would come down and confirm it. There are churches, churches, brides, brides. But there is only one that is going to be able to dovetail with the book of redemption. Hallelujah! And those old dirty laundries be put in the sea of forgetfulness. We'll be wearing a new crown and a new robe. The covenant could not be duplicated. I love the word, it could not be impersonated. Are you ready? I want you to think spiritual now. Which ministry in this age has dovetailed with the ministry of Jesus Christ? T.D. Jakes? Billy Graham? Benny Hinn? T.L. Osborne? Which denomination dovetails with the life of Christ? The World Council of Churches. Which one? 40,000 denominations. Which church will dovetail with Jesus Christ and that they coincide together perfectly? Where is the true church? The churches don't even resemble Pentecost. But the church and the life of Christ must perfectly absolutely dovetail. And the bride must possess the other side of the contract. The same life, the same works, the same power, the same victory. Now I want you to examine Brother Branham's ministry. His scriptural teachings. The level of his healing. Miracles, discernment, prophecy, the accuracy, the power, the character and nature and life of his ministry, the supernatural, the controlling of nature, the angel of the Lord. I want you to be honest now, because the only way to know whether you're right or not is to go back to the beginning and see if you match that word or the message you're following matches the beginning. The Holy Spirit is challenging us tonight. I know what you're thinking. Go ahead, shout. It'd be good for you. We're a blessed people. What ministry in the pages of history or the Bible match with this message? I want you to go down even to the Bible and find a ministry in the Bible that matched this. Love the Lord. Isn't it amazing that everything the angel told Brother Branham came to pass? Isn't it amazing that a man with a seventh grade education could show the mathematics of the Bible and it's perfect through future home and redemption and comparing it man and earth and all the way down to the Bible, seven ages, seven stars, seven spirits, and seven candlesticks and seven messages, seven rainbows, and mathematics dovetailed perfectly. And then show God in the zodiac, God in nature, God in the Bible, God in the seals, God in history, God, God, God. This message is divine. Hallelujah. This message has matched the Bible perfectly. Churches, churches, brides, brides. The Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. And there's no way to copy it. There's no way to impersonate it. It's got to be Him in you. The hope of glory. The only church that'll make a rapture is the church that dovetails with Him. How many say, yes, Lord? The life of Christ must dovetail in the true church or you're not going up. In other words, if your life does, you are the covenant people. That the covenant is to you. That you're not going through a tribulation. You're going up. And we're already enjoying the ascension. How many can love heavenly places in Christ? Already loving the ascension. We pass from death unto life. Am I going too long? We open the scriptures with the road to Emmaus. It was just a normal day. Sun come up. People went to the bread markets. Women carried their laundry, whatever they did, down the streets. And two believers who are brokenhearted start their way to Emmaus. And it just looked like a normal day. Clouds in the sky, sun was shining. Same sheep in the field, same shepherds. And now this is the greatest day, one of the greatest days ever known to man. And their hearts are discouraged. I mean, they just hardly even have enough strength to come to camp. And they're thinking, how can it end this way? We saw that man turn water to wine. And he's begging for a drink on the cross. We saw this man call a man that was dead for 4 days back to life again. And he's screaming on the cross for mercy. Where'd the power go? Where'd God go? Everything he said come to pass. All he had to do is speak the word. And we're screaming, speak the word, speak the word. And he's dumb. Their hearts are discouraged because it didn't turn out the way they thought it should turn out. And they're walking with heavy hearts. And then a stranger comes out of the bush. Puts his arm around them. He said, why are you looking so sad today? It's a beautiful day. And they said, where in the world did you come from? The whole land knows. It was shook by a prophet that we believe to be the Messiah. And they walked for 7 miles. And he's talking to them about the Word of God. And they're getting to the end of the journey. And he said, you fools, slow of heart to understand what is taking place. It didn't change their relationship. But God had to bring an awakening to them. Do you love the Lord? They were with Him for years, but still they did not understand. And the Bible said it was just about the evening time that they said, won't you come in with us? It's late. He said, no. I've got to go on. And they said, no, really, we want you to come. We really enjoy this. I mean, it's really helped us. It's lifted our spirits. Come. We'll take care of the bill. Brother Branham describes this as an inn. They go into an inn. It's the way Brother Branham describes it several times. And they go in and they sit down and they're talking. And this is amazing because it wasn't a public show. They went into a quiet place, only the elect now. And the Bible said he only appears to the elect. He never goes to Caiaphas in the church world, but he comes to reveal himself to the elected. You love the Lord. And so they shut the doors. And as he breaks the bread, I don't know what he did, but he did something. When he broke the bread, he manifested some characteristic. You know, he fed 5,000. And they were watching it. They were watching that miracle over and over and over and over again. Sometimes God just wants to make sure we get it. And so they watched him. I don't know what they saw. But he did something. And whatever he did opened their eyes. Didn't change his form, but opened their eyes so they could see him in the form that he was. In the resurrected form that he was. Sometimes we can go over a sermon over sermon, teaching over teaching, Bible study over Bible study. But sometimes it takes a manifestation of God himself doing something in a certain way that will open our eyes. Do you love the Lord? They understood by whatever this characteristic was, that's the same one. That's the same one that went down. That same one come back again. That's the same one that loved us. That's the same one. Do you love the Lord? He revealed himself when he got inside. God wants to get on the inside tonight. Do you realize we are walking in the same footsteps of those two on the road to Emmaus? Do you realize God wants to shut you in and break the bread of life? He wants to come on the inside. Open your heart and let him come on the inside. And then he'll begin to reveal himself to you. I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, I will come in to him and sup with him and reveal myself to him. How many say, yes, Lord, I'm opening the door wide. The exact type of the day. Can I go a little further? Notice Christ revealed himself on the third day. Notice this, the first day he was still dead. Brother Branham said that was the type of Luther. Second day, still dead, type of Wesley. Third day, on the morning, there was a rumor that he was alive. But on the third day, in the evening time, he breaks the bread of life on the end of the third day. And said, look at me. I'm the same one. And he disappeared. How many can say amen? He revealed himself in the morning and in the evening. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end. Not a third person, but the person. And our eyes are opened at the manifestation. Then they understood the scriptures. Do you love the Lord? Can I carry on just a few more minutes? Brother Brenner makes a statement that I want to read to you. In the church ages, he said, notice, that's the reason the revivals we're supposed to have, these denominational revivals, we haven't had a great stirring. No, don't think we've had revivals. We've got millions and millions of church members, but no revival anywhere. The bride hasn't had a revival yet. There's been no revival, listen, or manifestation to stir the bride yet. We're looking for those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up. And he will send it. A year later, Brother Branham is talking about a magazine that they put out. And said, we need an awakening. They're crying for an awakening. And he said, they're good people. He said, but they have not recognized the awakening of the bride. Being a Christian, They feel the pull of the hour, but they haven't recognized that's what's making them feel that way. They're looking way off into the future, and it's happening right in their midst. We talk about revivals. We talk about, but Brother Branham said the bride's revival is an awakening. In the United States, there was great awakenings of George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards and the first and the second great awakening. But there has never been an awakening like this awakening that we have experienced, that all of redemption has come clear. The Bible has become a new book and Christ has revealed himself, the mighty God unveiled. We have been open to the truths of the Bible. Serpent seed, no eternal hell, predestination, the Godhead, water baptism, secrets from the very back part of God's mind. We have been awakened to the coming of the Lord. We have been awakened to the reality of God. We have been awakened to His healing power, to His saving power, to His resurrection power. I say that the bride is having a revival. Oh, they're looking across the nations and are not seeing it. That's because he's in the hidden place where the door is shut. And believers have let him into their hearts. And God is having an awakening. Opening the eyes of his bride. Do you love the Lord? Maybe describe it like this. Brother Branham said, he had went to Finland, and he had Gordon Lindsay with him, Jack Moore with him. And he said that they were, I believe, in a tower somewhere. They saw a disturbance at the bottom of the hill, that there was a wreck of some sort, and they go down to investigate the situation. And so Jack Moore looks at it, and there's a boy mangled in a car. And Gordon Lindsay looks at it. Jack Moore comes back to Brother Branham and said, "You got to look at this." He said, No, I got kids. I don't want to." And Brother Branham made his way over. He looked and he sees a boy with a crop haircut, little buttons on his clothes, little short knickers like they had, the socks pulled way up, leg was twisted, eyes rolled back. Brother Branham said, "Oh, pitiful, pitiful." And he begins to walk away from the scene. He don't realize what is happening and who's here in this drama. And he feels a hand touch him on the shoulder. He thinks it's Jack Moore. When he looks, there is no Jack Moore. And then he gets spiritual. He looks up at the mountains and the trees blowing in the wind. It's dismal. He looks at the rocks. He looks at the cars. He looks at the people. And all of a sudden he looks at the boy again. And he said, "Let me see the boy again." And he looks at the boy and he said, "Gordon Lindsay, look at the flyleaf of your Bible. There's the trees. There's the rocks. There's the boy. This boy is going to raise from the dead." Hallelujah. Brother Branham said something began to move in his heart when he realized there's the trees. There's the boy. There's the people. God is here. I didn't know it, but God is here. And something is about to happen. All I got to do is do the part that he told me to do. Step into the vision and watch God go to work. Hallelujah! Brother Branham said, "If this boy ain't up in 5 minutes, run me out of your country." What a boldness! What an assurance! Standing firm on the word. He knew God was going to answer because his character is unchanging. And he could not refuse it. I'm going to turn it around a minute. Jack Moore saw it. Gordon Lindsay saw it. Said, "Wow." And they walked away. Brother Branham walked into the room of Florence Nightingale. And the woman was just bones. Georgie Carter was 37 pounds, but she was a little girl. Florence Nightingale was a large woman. And Brother Branham said she looked like just a pile of bones with skin around it. You could see her whole bone frame through her skin. Brother Branham finally got to her. Jack Moore was there. Gordon Lindsay was there. Ern Baxter was there. Brother Branham come. Just simple little prayers moved all heaven. People, I'm telling you, we just got to have faith in what God tells us to do. Brother Branham said, we need a revival of simplicity. God, help us to believe. Awaken us to faith. Brother Branham just gives a simple little prayer, and a dove comes into the window, coo, coo. And Brother Branham, when he finishes the prayer, he notices the men sitting there looking at the, not praying, but looking over at the dove. And Brother Branham's just, what was that? Was that a pet? And they said, no, no, we don't know where it came from. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God fell upon Brother Branham. He said, thus saith the Lord, she shall not die, she shall live. They were walking out of the room, and Ern Baxter, after everything he saw, said, Brother Branham, are you sure about that? He said, God would have to make a brand new woman. Brother Branham said, thus saith the Lord. They saw that sack of bones rise back up in the name of the Lord and live because God said so. Hallelujah! But Jack Moore, and I'm sorry if there's any family members here, Gordon Lindsay, they did not understand what was happening there. And they just went on. Can I carry on? Brother Branham said, my desire is to awaken the church to the coming of the Lord. You love the Lord. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what God does in the beginning is right, so He does it again. In His first coming, before our blessed Savior come to this wretched place, God rose up a forerunner with the spirit of Elijah. God used this spirit of Elijah to introduce the word. Because Elijah was the greatest of all the prophets, Brother Branham said the reason was because he was to introduce the word. He was introducing a new sacrifice, a new day, a new dispensation, a new lamb. And so he was standing between the Old and the New Testament. And he was out in the wilderness. God was training John. Out in the wilderness, he said, you will see a sign. And when you see this sign, that sign will declare that the Messiah is upon the earth. Are you getting weary? John was sure he wasn't going to miss it because God trained him on the backside of the desert. And John was wading out into the water, baptizing, and all of a sudden, what he looked for all of his life, he saw it as the Messiah come walking, the Word come walking, right to the prophet. And I, John, saw the sign descend upon him. And remaining, it came down from heaven. Brother Branham, this is direct words. John's mission was to forerun the Messiah, the coming Word. When he got there, John said, he must increase. I must decrease. I have introduced him. He must increase. He must expand his borders. He must grow greater. He must be the man of the hour. I must diminish. I must go off the scene. My work is done. And in the last days, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, God sends another Elijah. I want to make this clear. When they cut John's head off, Jesus Christ was still there. You seeing where I'm going? There's a prophecy of Malachi 4, behold, I send Elijah. How many believe in the second coming of Christ? Any Baptists or Pentecostal or many denominations believe in the second coming of Christ. While they deny the advent of the prophet messenger. How can you, let's go back to the first coming. You say, I want to see the Messiah. in order to see the Messiah, you had to accept the coming of John, because John prepared the way and introduced the Word. In other words, you could not reject John and accept Christ. And in this last day, you cannot have a second coming without the forerunner, Elijah the prophet. In order to go up, you must accept the preparation and the Christ. Because the forerunner, runner indicates the second coming. Can I go a little further? Brother Branham said, my mission on earth is to forerun the coming Word. Brother Branham's ministry was to introduce Jesus Christ to the earth. There's a quote Brother Branham said from that time, 1962. He said, there are different kind of ministries, pastors and teachers. He said, I don't mean to say anything wrong, but this is my ministry, to declare that He is here. In the prayer lines, Brother Branham would have had a ministry like no other. He would stand near Hubble and he would be talking about the woman at the well, or Philip and Nathaniel. And he'd say, now you say that I'm stalling. I am. He said, I'm waiting on Him. Oh, that sounds like some sort of theatric drama. But when he stiffened up and said, He's here and I take every spirit under my control, whew, people dropped dead. For those that resisted it, then they could say nothing against it. He said, my ministry is to declare He is here. Now, there were many sitting there that recognized it. Many there that didn't recognize it. Some of them that went after Brother Branham like they did John. Some of them that believed John was the Christ. So there was a mixed multitude. Some of them, it was just taking a while to catch on. Some of them were just looking at the miracles. Some of them were looking at the man. Some of them were looking at the Word. My mission is to forerun the coming Word. In the days of Jesus, some thought He was a false prophet. Some were there for the bread and loaves. Some were there for the miracles. But some of them said, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made well. Those that recognized Him received from Him. The woman at the well, when she recognized Him, it released healing to her. Jairus, when he recognized Him, it released resurrection power to him. When those that believed Him and recognized Him, it released forgiveness to them. Do you believe that? Brother Branham said, if you can recognize Him, He'll release every desire that you have in your life. Brother Branham said, He is here to give Himself to you. It's amazing, because in South Africa, Durban, Brother Branham does one miracle. 30,000 receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in a collective baptism. Brother Branham said, because they recognized His presence, it had such an effect upon the believer that the power of God just fell upon the whole group of them. Not because they thought Brother Branham was here, but because they saw He was here. I mean this in the greatest respect. When Brother Branham died, Jesus Christ is still here. In the first Exodus, He said, I have come down to deliver them, and I'm sending you. So here comes an 80-year-old prophet with a wife and babies behind him and a pillar of fire. The people didn't see Jehovah. They just saw a prophet and a pillar of fire. But God said, I'm the one that's cleaning Pharaoh's clock. I'm the one that's delivering my people. People, don't get confused at the form that God comes in. You don't need to be looking at a man. Be looking at Jesus Christ, the one He introduced. A living, resurrected Christ. The same in every way. And Moses introduced the I Am to the people. And when Moses died, the I Am was still here. Do you love the Lord? Now Pharaoh and the Egyptians didn't see it, but the elected, they saw it and they believed it. No matter how present he is, you've got to believe it. How many believe he's Jehovah Jireh? How many believe he's Jehovah Rapha, our healer? Seven compound redemptive names to declare the characteristic of God. But Brother Branham said he's absolutely Jehovah Jireh. He's absolutely Jehovah Rapha. He said, but he is also Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is present. He said he cannot be Jehovah Jireh without being Jehovah Shammah. He must be present to heal you. He must be present to save you. He must be present to deliver you. We serve a living, resurrected Christ. We're not following a doctrine. We're not following a movement. We are following him. Jesus, notice, Brother Branham said, my message will forerun the coming word, and the word is Christ, and Christ is here, and Christ has manifested himself. Brother Branham said, the angel of the Lord is to declare he is here. Why is he here? To prepare a bride, to get her rapture ready, to move upon her heart, to reveal himself. How many say, Lord, I need an awakening. I want to be awakening to your presence, to your life, to your power, to your revival. The bride sees him. I don't believe in a fivefold ministry. It wasn't so from the beginning. I just ran into a man trying to convince me polygamy was true. I told him it wasn't so from the beginning. Let me tell you, just squeezing in by your mama's skirt, it wasn't so from the beginning. Living like a devil or living like the world and calling yourself a message believer, it wasn't so from the beginning. He closed the door. And he broke the bread of life. And the elect's eyes were open. They were awakened. There is no other message on earth. This is him. Brother Branham said, and why Christ speak? He said it was he that came down in the river, 1933. He said it was he that told me I had power over the Mamba and everything under it. He said it was he that came down and dropped that sword in his hand. He said it wasn't me. It was he that raised that boy from the dead. It is he. He was introducing us to him. And I come to declare to you tonight that he's here. How many say, Lord, give me an awakening. Awaken my heart. Awaken my faith. Awaken me to the realities of God. God, in these services to come, let me see you continually unfold yourself. You appeared tonight, but I want to see you appear again. Every corner, I'm looking for you. Every service, I'm looking for you. Every special, I'm looking for you. God, I need you to reveal yourself to me. Let me tell you, after he revealed himself, a revival of Pentecost followed that awakening. Brother Branham said they were light-footed when they ran back to tell the people he is alive and well. And the record is true. We've gone down through seven church ages, but let me tell you, there is a people that have seen him for themselves. They received him for themselves. How many say, Lord, fill my heart. I stand at the door and knock. If you open to me, I will come in and I'll begin to reveal myself to you. Let us stand to our feet. As the musicians will come. Let's just bow our heads together. And I want you young people to be thinking about your life and where God has pricked your heart, where you know you've done wrong. I want you to think real. Just be real honest with yourself. Is your life matching this end time message? Are you just looking like a Christian to others, but living a life of disgrace behind the scenes? It don't have to be young people. Anybody in this building, his heart might be filled with sorrow, filled with disgrace. What an opportunity we have. What an opportunity those two on the road to Emmaus had. What a personal interview they had. And before they knew it, the opportunity was gone. I wonder if there'd be some here that could recognize that God has spoken to them tonight. That they've seen Him. Seen Him in a way that they never saw Him. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us? As He spoke to us along the way, something on the inside, there's a deep call. And I feel Him calling me higher. God, I want to go up higher. I want to consecrate myself, Lord. God, I want You to live in my heart, live in my flesh. Would You raise Your hand to Him? And just say, Lord, I'm asking. I see You're the same God. And I know there's forgiveness with You. I want to be like that woman with a blood issue. I don't want to miss my opportunity. I'm going to reach out and touch You as You pass by. Release unto me forgiveness. Release unto me healing. God, I pray, open the eyes of my soul that I might see You. God, I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, as the hands were lifted, and the people have paid such close attention to the preaching of the Word, I ask in Jesus' name that You do what no preacher can do. That now that Your Word has been preached, that You'll come down and confirm Your Word. Lord, we're asking, we have declared that You are here. And I'm asking in the name of Jesus Christ, You don't have to do it. But God, we would be so honored if You will come down into this group and begin to move through the aisles, begin to minister to our hearts. That angels would take their position. That the Holy Spirit would begin to brood over this congregation. That the people would begin to repent, Lord. That we will begin to repent for our wrong. And say, Lord, gird us up by Your strength. Lift us up, O God. God, we ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that Your presence would come down and move upon our souls. And we ask it in Jesus Christ's holy name. Brother Kenny, could you sing that for me, please? That song.
Hallelujah. He is here.
Just take this time to worship Him. Let's do it again.
He is here. Hallelujah.
Have Your way, O God.
One more time, let's sing it together. Lift your voices. That's it.
Hallelujah.
Wonderful.
Yes, here.
Tonight. The Emmaus walk. Think about these men as they talk to him. They begin to reveal himself. Begin to open up the word and what was going on in that day and what was happening. Brother Craig said they come to that place and he acted to go a little further and they said, no, come. I believe we're here at a moment to where maybe in your heart you're saying, Lord, I just need a moment with you. That's why we came to this camp. That's why we had this moment. And I believe there's some here that wants to persuade him, Lord, will you just stop by my way? If you feel that way, the altars are open here to talk to him. There's ministers to pray. But I wouldn't leave this moment if you have that in your heart without saying, God, just come on in and talk to me. Come on and speak to me, Lord. I just need a moment with you. And in that part, in that place, he can just do something to open up himself, to reveal himself to you. Hallelujah. Let's just sing this. I feel the pull. I hear. This is not just for young people. Maybe some of you said, well, you know, my walk with God's got a little stale. I would just like to reconnect with Him. To give my all. I'd just like to talk a few things over with Him. Oh, yes. Will you persuade Him? Agree.
Lord, please come.
Amen. Any ministers here would like to come and pray with these? Family, whatever, mothers and dads. Oh, I feel the pull. Oh, I hear the call. Persuade him. Jesus, come to me. Come to where I am, Lord. Will you just open up yourself to me, God? He speaks to me. Oh, and I began to cry, and my mind just fails to know exactly why. I can't explain all the spirit.
Bye. saturate my thirsty soul. Come, oh Jesus, Jesus, heal my heart and make me whole. I need you now. Pour your, sing it again now. Pour your spirit out. On me, fill my cup again. Yes, Jesus, Jesus, I need you now. Pour your, one more time.
Lion and the lamb, oh how great.
How great is our God.
Praise this God. Hallelujah. The world praises their gods. They give honor. They give credence. But you're praising the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. The mighty God. The mighty conqueror. The same yesterday, today, and forever. We can praise this God. Hallelujah. This God who rose. This God who lives. This God who's the I am. Not the I was, but the I am. Oh, what a God we serve tonight. What a mighty God we serve. We praise you, oh God. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. How great you are, oh God. How great you are. Hallelujah. Amen. These are the days of Elijah declaring the word.
The sun, at the trumpet sound, like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah.
Hallelujah. We can truly say we serve a mighty God. He's unchanging. I'm glad about that. Like I said before, we'd be nervous, just a wreck, if one day God thought one way about us and the next day was different. But what He thought at the beginning, He still thinks today. The same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm thankful He thinks of me as His son. Hallelujah. Amen. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful service tonight. What a start. This is just the beginning. Amen. My, just expecting God to just continue to pour and pour and pour. Amen. Brother Craig says, I'm free. I'm done. Amen. I'm happy. Amen. But we sure appreciate that, brother. I do appreciate it. Amen. God bless you. My. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I felt myself just walking right along with those on the road to Emmaus and God unveiling Himself tonight and showing Himself to be what He really is and who He is. And we're thankful that we're not blind, but we can see. There's people going around that don't even see the things that are happening. They know something maybe is happening in the end time. They don't know what is the end time, none of that. I'm thankful to have received a message that unveiled God to me, that I could see Him for what He really is. What a peace we can have tonight. Let's just bow our heads. Father God, we're thankful, Lord, that we could have these times, Lord. These meetings, Lord, that we could come together, Lord, and God, just forget about the outside world and all the chaos that's going on and the things that's happening. And Lord, to hear tonight that You're here the same yesterday, today, and forever. And You're unveiling Yourself to the people of God, the elect of God. And Lord, we're thankful to be part of that. Lord, we just ask that You'd be with us this evening as we go, and Lord, our conversation, Lord, our times of fellowship, You'll be with us, Lord. Give us rest for our bodies. Give Brother Craig rest. Renew his strength, we pray. We pray for the men of God, Lord, that will speak, Lord, and in the coming services. Lord, we're just expecting, Lord. Lord, we got, Lord, tonight just a wonderful start. Just to feel Your presence sweep through this place and the Word being vindicated and shown to be real among us. God, lives change, hearts drawn closer to You. What a service, what a time, Lord, we've had. And we just want to say thank You for coming by our way. We ask, Lord, You'll not only, Lord, be in this building, but You'll be in the hotel rooms, the cabins, Lord. Every place, Father, that Your presence can be felt, Lord, just permeate in every heart. Lord, to the motels that would, some staying off grounds, God, may You be with them. And Lord, just continue to prick hearts, Lord, we pray. We just want to say how much we love You and appreciate You. We thank You, Lord, once again, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you this evening. Be back here in the morning at 10 o'clock. Amen. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. We're going to go singing that. Amen. No, there will be Vacation Bible School. What time? What? Anybody here? 9:30 it starts. are they gathering in a certain place in the Yoakum Center, 9:30. If your kid has not been signed up, they have to be, I think, 12 to 3, 3 to 12. So if you have a child in that age and you'd like for them to be able to attend, we may be able to fit them in. So you can check with a teacher. Where's a teacher?